I had this friend of mine who always used to say to me, knowing that I was a teacher, he said, "Those who can't do, teach." I always thought he was trying to say something to me, but I couldn't figure out what it was. But I know that's that can sometimes be the truth. Because I know it seems like whenever it comes time and opportunity for me to do like a fix-it project around the house or to put something together, I usually, maybe this probably isn't you, but me, I usually make things worse. You know what I mean? I'm just one of those guys. I get into it and I try to tackle a project. And the only time that doesn't happen is if I'm not in a rush. And I take my time and I listen to people who have conquered the problem before. I work through things carefully. And I take the time it takes, so in the end, it takes less time. That's got to be my motto in life. And you guys probably know that throughout my young life, I have tried to take on more things than I ought to. And that's just been me at the camp, at church, and things. I just run at about 100 miles an hour. And when I try to do that on a project around the house or something, it all blows up in my face. So I just need to sometimes, I need to, when things are going wrong and I need to fix something, I need to stop, take the time, listen to someone who's been down the road, and just patiently go through the process, the method to the completion. And when we think about Naaman, we think about the problem. I said last week as we were looking at that, Naaman, when he was coming to the problem that he had leprosy, he had three things that he wasn't very excited about. He wasn't excited about the man that was going to tell him what he needed to do. He wasn't excited about the message that man brought. And he wasn't excited about the method by which the cleansing would take place. And when it comes time, when it comes to our spiritual lives, and Jesus Christ as the saving God, sometimes we don't like the man that is depicted as the person who would save us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sometimes we don't like his message. Sometimes people don't want to hear the message that Jesus Christ came. They stick their fingers in their ears and they don't want to hear it because they think they're doing okay. And they don't like the method which the Word of God lays out on how you can be saved, how your life can be changed and transformed. So I'm here to encourage us today that the man that God has for us and the message and the method are worth it. And today, maybe your life is going 100,000 miles an hour, and you're trying to do it in your own strength. And you come here today, and it just seems like the harder and the faster you try, the more things fall apart around you. I'm telling you, stop, listen, and wait, and be patient. And find someone who is ready and is prepared to make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that as we open your word, as we listen to it, Lord, that we'll listen to the word of God, man Jesus Christ, that we'll hear the message and we'll think about the method. I pray that, Lord, that you might help us to understand what you did in Naaman's life. And, Lord, that you might help us to seek out you as a cleaning agent for the heart and for the soul. Bless us today. Be with us as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5, in verse 7, "And it happened when the king read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots. He stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Paphra, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." As I look at this passage of Scripture, I see that Naaman had a problem, and he thought he knew the solution, and he was just going to go down and be taken care of and be back to life the way that it was before. But God had other plans. And sometimes that's what happens in our own life. I said, this usually happens to me, like with a fix-it project. I say, okay, I've got this much time I'm going to fix it with, and I'm going to get out my tools, and I don't take the time, and I try to fix it, and usually I'll break a screw, and I'll lose a bolt, and I'll break 4 things in trying to fix one thing, if I'm in a hurry and if I'm in a rush. Sometimes I read what I'm supposed to do, I ask someone else for advice, I take the time, and I stop before this is usually the changing moment in my life. I say, God, I need to fix this problem. I'm going to take the time, and I'm going to work it. Will you help me with this? And I just enter that problem with those things in the back of my mind, and I say, I'm going to take as long as it takes to do this. I'm going to take my time, and I get to it. Usually that's when things go well. Usually when it's in a rush, and I think I know the best and quickest and fastest way to get in and get out, that's when things all fall apart. But isn't it like that in our day-to-day lives too? Not just in a fix-it problem. At work, in family, when it comes to certain things that we face, we don't take time to involve God in our lives. We don't talk to him first thing in the morning. We don't read the Bible. We maybe got up a little bit late and say, I don't got time for that, and rush out the door. And our world begins to fall apart. And when sin gets in and it creeps in, we try to fix it ourselves. This morning, as me and my wife were sitting at the desk and I was eating a little bit of breakfast, we had on one of those cops shows where they arrest somebody and they pulled him over for speeding. And he's trying to talk his way out of the situation. And he's coming up with all these excuses and lies. And with each lie, the cop knew the truth. And he said, but wait a second, didn't this happen to you? Oh, but. And then he became one of those guys that just tried to compound a lie with another lie and just added on. And as I see Naaman in this situation, God says, here's what you need to do, Naaman. It's simple. Go down to the Jordan River and just dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And the Bible says that he got into a rage because it wasn't the way he thought it should be. And so often in our life, when things don't go the way we want them to, even if they are right, we end up just like Naaman. We end up upset because this didn't work out the way we wanted to. And before you know it, our life is a mess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is a passage of scripture that we've talked about and talked about and talked about on Sunday nights. If you've been here as we've been talking about how to give away your faith, I referred to this 2 or 3 times in the last couple of Sunday nights, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, we have the message of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. As I say, in your life, I've got a message for you in the manual that God has given to you, and the center of it all is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God came to this earth and he lived a perfect life and he died for you. There's the message that is hope for the whole world. Some people don't like that message, but the message is simple. Christ died for us, the gospel, and he rose again from the dead. I love what it says in John chapter 10, that he laid down his life. No one took it from him. He laid it down of his own accord. And having the power to lay it down, he also had the power to raise it up. And he did that. And there are testimonies and witnesses of the fact that Jesus Christ did that for you. And the message is simple. The gospel is for you. But some people don't want to hear the gospel. They hear it and they get into a rage and they, like Naaman, say, that's not the way I thought it would be. Naaman said, I thought he would, and I get the picture here. I love getting the Bible and like seeing it in my mind. Naaman thought that Elisha was going to come out and wave his hand and give some incantation, and then everything would, hocus pocus, be better. That's what some people believe. Want in their Christian life. They say, I want to go to church and I want the pastor to get up and say a prayer and wave his hand and everything in my life is going to be better. I'm going to be out of my way to heaven. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be wealthy. And is that the way the Christian life works? No. You personally have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died for your sins, and he rose again to pay for those sins. That's your responsibility. And then after that, God is going to go through the process of sanctifying your life, changing you into what he has created you to be. And that can be a difficult journey. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Well, fear not, for I have overcome the world. This morning, before Sunday school, we read a book from a verse from the book of Job. about how when Job had been tried, he would come forth as gold. There's a testing and a trying process in the sanctification of mankind. There is no preacher on this world who can wave his hand, no pastor, no one that can wait, and all of a sudden your life will be perfect. You need to get a relationship with the Savior. You need to let Him work in your life, mold you into the image of His Son, let you face trials so that the testing of your faith can produce patience. That is very, very, very important. The message is simple. Romans 5:8 says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We read that this morning. It's our verse of the month, and that wasn't on accident that I chose that as I was thinking about this. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a great message. It doesn't say in there, if you want to get to heaven, come to church 50 out of 52 weeks a year, and that'll make sure that you're there. If you want to get to heaven, make sure that you've given $1,000 to the church. It doesn't say there, if you want to get to heaven, make sure that you're better than your coworker who sits in the booth next to you at work. No, it says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us to pay for our sins so that we can be made new. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and find out that God wants to be actively involved in our life in making us into a new creature. I think about what we just read about Naaman. When he went down into the Jordan River, he was full of leprosy. When he came out of dipping in the Jordan 7 times, he was clean. His life was transformed. He was made new. And God can do the same thing for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. God is in the process of cleansing our lives. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And He's making us new. He died on the cross to conform us to the image of His Son. The message is simple. Jesus Christ died for you, died for your sins, so that you could be made new. Just like the message to Naaman was simple. Naaman, you have leprosy, you have a problem, you want the problem fixed, go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. You could have a couple of responses. You could be like Naaman originally was, and you could get upset, and you can be in a rage, and you could get frustrated. Or you can simply say, yes, Lord, I believe, I'll trust You. I'll dip in the Jordan River seven times. I believe in your Son as Jesus Christ. There is a difference between what the world wants and what God can do. God wants to do a miracle in your life. The world would love to have some magical experience. There is a difference between the magic that the world would like, in which all of a sudden all of your problems are gone and everything is better and you're on your way to heaven, and what God can do in the transforming power of changing your life into something new through the blood and the work of Jesus Christ. The difference is that magic is man trying to manipulate God for what he wants. A miracle is when we allow God to take the lead in our hearts and lives and to change us from the inside out. Naaman didn't want anything to do with the man. He didn't want anything to do with Elisha. He didn't want anything to do with the message. And he also didn't want anything to do with the method. This method was to design to show Naaman that Naaman wasn't in control of this situation. It wasn't by his own works and his own doings that he would be healed. God wanted to show Naaman that it was only by the power of God that he would be saved, that he would be healed from his leprosy. And when it comes to us in our eternal state and the change that we need in our lives, there is only one way that we could be saved. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Every sinner on this world, everyone who is out there on the other side of the cross, who has not believed in Jesus Christ, has his own idea of the way that God should work. We often talk about how us as sinners that are saved by grace, we are simply those who were dirty, filthy, and in need of a Savior. We weren't born saints. It was Jesus Christ who made us saints. And so often, people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as they stand and as they view their sin, they think that they know how to fix it. It's kind of like a person going into a doctor's office. And as they sit there, they think that they know exactly what the problem is and exactly how to fix it, and they're telling the doctor how to perform. I mean, that's fine. If you know how to do it, find a doctor that agrees with you and have him help you. But sometimes we need to allow the great physician to perform surgery on us because we don't know how to fix ourselves. Elisha wasn't there to perform some mystical ceremony, to do some sacred, mystical incantation to fix Naaman's life. He was out to make a lasting and eternal change in the life of this man. And it was going to take a method that wasn't Naaman's, but a method that was God's. His message was simple. Naaman, you go into that river dirty, you're going to come out clean. And God's got the same message for us today. If you're standing here today and the filth of sin is ruining your life, come to the cross dirty, come to the cross filthy, and find a God who is willing, ready, and prepared to make you clean. Let's look in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10. In verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of such, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to make sure that our lives, that our bodies are clean, are pure before God. If God says that it's Jesus that is able to clean our lives, to be able to make our life different and to ensure that we stand before God just and that he is the method by which we must be saved, we must humble ourselves and take a trip to the cross and find God faithful to save and to heal. We need to make sure that we have the cleaning agent of the Bible in our lives. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool." I think about Naaman. And I think about his life. He had a terrible skin disease, and he needed to be clean from it. And he followed through with what God wanted him to do. He went and dipped in the water 7 times, and he was clean. Today, we have a real sin problem, a sin condition. And God says, come to the cross and find a way to be clean. And if we will simply come to Jesus Christ and his finished work, the blood of Jesus Christ, and say, I want that in my life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find salvation. He will cleanse our lives. Last verse I have for us this morning is Titus chapter 3. A verse we might not all know by heart, but if you don't, I would encourage you to learn it and use it and apply it to your life. In Titus 3, 5 and 6, it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I ask you this morning, have you tried to do it yourself? Have you tried to fix your life and found that it doesn't work? That the more you try to fix it and the more you try to rush it, the worse things get? I'd like to ask you today, be patient. Take a moment, stop, and go to a Savior. He is ready to clean, he is ready to heal, and he is ready to abundantly pardon. Stop trying to fix it on your own. If you came here today, this morning, thinking that, you know, if there's a pastor who'd wave his hands and say something, that your life would be magically better, stop. Come to Jesus Christ. Go to the person who can really save. The person who can really clean. Come to the cross and find that Christ died for you when you were still a sinner because he loved you. And he said, today, if you'll believe in me, I'll cleanse you from that sin and I'll begin to make everything new. Maybe for too long, you've been like Naaman, rejecting the man, rejecting the message, and rejecting the method that God has laid out in his book. Today, come to the cross. and say, I agree. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Come and find him faithful to wash your lives and to make you whiter than snow. Come to him and find that he can make everything new. He wants to change you. Naaman gave in. And he finally said, okay, I'll go. I'll dunk in the... And he dipped down in the water 7 times. He came up and the leprosy was gone. But do you notice that in that passage of scripture we read, not only was the leprosy gone, his life was changed. His whole outlook. And next week we're going to look at how exactly his outlook was different. And he became a new man. And everything changed in his world. And today, maybe you've got a sin problem. Not a skin problem like Naaman, but a sin problem. Come begin to take advantage of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Come to know him. Accept the man who came to this world to die for you. Accept his message. The good news of the gospel. And the method by which you can be saved. Let's pray this morning. Lord and Heavenly Father, I praise you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, unlike Naaman, I never had leprosy, a skin condition that would take my life and ruin it. But Lord, I had a sin problem that was so much worse. That separated me from you, God, that put me in danger of the fires of hell. But Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the message of the gospel. And I thank you for your Son coming to this world, dying on a cross, so that I can live forever. And I pray that if there's someone here that's struggling with sin in their life, they might trust in you as their personal Savior today. They might find you to be everything that they need. Bless us today as we leave this place. I pray that if there's one person here that doesn't know you, you'll help come and find you to be everything that they need. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.